Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by His Spirit, speaking to us words of wisdom and kindness in the heart. He always deals with the heart of man. That's where decisions are made, not just ours, but the way we conduct ourselves from the heart. Causes God that in our yielding to the Lord from the heart enables God to promote us. And some people, God is able to do works that can't be done any other way because they have yielded to Him. And they, even without their knowledge, they came to a place in Him that they qualify to do a specific task. And they'll do it, and it'll work. And they set things in motion that can't be reversed. This is done by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and even the might of the Holy Spirit, according to the knowledge and counsel of the Holy Spirit. And this is done publicly. And Satan is out there. He hates it. So Satan is the one behind all the mischief. But when people are able to do God's perfect will, and they perform it, then they set something in motion that can't be reversed. Remember, we bear fruit after our own type. Whatever kind of person you are, if God sanctioned you to do something, you'll bear fruit. And the way you are as a person becomes a factor in how the fruit turns out. Some people are smarter. Some people have done wiser things in life. But because of things that they have not made right before the Lord, or maybe they don't have the makeup for it, some people were born to do specific things. And once it's done, in the sight of men, the enemy wants to stop the process of it. He can't stop a man of faith. He cannot. It's impossible for Satan to stop anybody that chooses to operate according to their faith. It's impossible. Impossible. He can't do it. But he will try to work against it, any which way he can. Now, what the Lord put on my heart is going to surprise you. It's Cain jealousy. You know, we all, if you read Genesis, you know the story of Cain, how he killed his brother Abel, who offered a more perfect offering to the Lord. See, because of our sin, we can't just give God vegetables and fruits and vegetables and things we planted. Blood has to be shed. And Abel gave him the best of his flock, the best. And Cain gave him the best of his garden. Now, my mother taught me that Cain should have took the best of his flock and bought the best of the livestock that Abel would sell him, and then offered to the Lord as a sacrifice, because blood was required. She explained that to me when I was a child, and I understood it. And so his offering was not perfect before the Lord. And the Lord showed more respect to Abel's offering. So Cain was jealous to the point that he murdered his brother. Now, you would think in the 21st century that people have read this story and they get it. But I'm sorry to say, they don't get it. Cain jealousy still exists against people who operate according to God's perfect will, people who teach according to God's perfect wisdom, especially if they're younger or of a different race or a different gender. Men would get jealous against you if you know, they're tempted to. Some people are jealous from the heart. Some people rebuke it. Some people don't want that side of life, and they don't want that kind of sin and they do something about it. But the enemy comes to tempt them into jealousy against the works of God, even though they are holy works done by men who were washed in the blood of Jesus. But because they are younger or not considered as wise, people that went to school and colleges to learn things, the enemy will tempt them to be jealous against the people who may not have gone to college, but God did a work through them. They will say, well, God would have chosen somebody that graduated at the school I went to. He wouldn't have just used some anybody. And the enemy will give them those thoughts, and they'll speak it and even work against them. But because the Lord has raised up this country and we have laws, you can't murder people like you could in the old days. This is a more established country, and we got policemen. It's against the law to kill somebody. And sometimes that's the only reason they don't follow through with it, but the Lord still sees the murder that's festering in their heart. And then they talk against people, which is the same as murder. Slander is murder. And people, we have to remember, no matter what people do, even when they're wrong, God still loves them. And we shouldn't murder a person's character. And if they're wrong, that's God's job to deal with them. Our job is to love them because we were forgiven of too much. We were forgiven of too much to be blaming somebody and slandering people and working ill towards people because we're jealous. Now, I hate to say that, I don't even like teaching this. When I was coming up, I learned to go in God's presence from the church I went to. We had a strong worship service. And Greg Hosey used to pray for hours. And see, I learned a lot of principles. With God, He's not a respecter of persons, or age, or race, or gender. Anybody that comes to Him in His presence, He will use them for His glory. Greg Hosey used to fast and pray. I used to get concerned he'd fast so much. I said, man, you work and you're young. You need to eat more. But he wanted to be like Bishop Bonner. Bishop Bonner operated in the spiritual gifts, and he wanted to operate in them too. And he did the right things to do it. Honor goes to who he. That's what he did. And I benefited from it. I saw him do this. I wasn't jealous of him. I didn't really want to do what he was doing. But this, look at the result that happened. He would lead us in praise and worship into the presence of God. And I want, at a time when I wanted to learn from the Holy Spirit. Now, he was more geared to prayer. I was more geared to learning. But I learned, I saw him go in the presence of God, and I followed him there. Not just at church. I would go home in my bedroom. I moved downstairs in the old den, cleaned it up and slept downstairs. And I would go after, when I had free time, I would go in there and I would pray and worship God silently and go in God's presence and worship Him for a while. And I did it often. And at church, I'd go in His presence. And eventually, the Lord would show me things. In His presence, I felt like I could do anything. And you know, if you listen to these broadcasts often, you probably heard me say how I said, Lord, when I'm in Your presence, I feel like I can do anything. I don't feel fearful, doubtful. I don't feel defeated. I said, I want to be like this everywhere I go, when I'm at work, not just when I'm at church and at home praying. And we had a nice, beautiful prayer room in that church. And it had red carpet in it. It was beautiful. And I would get to church early and go in that prayer room and go in God's presence. That's where I asked Him to teach me how to. I said, Lord, I want to live like I'm in Your presence wherever I go. And the pastor said, well, I told him about it. He said, well, you can't live up on the mountaintop. You got to come back down in the valley. And I know that sounds right on paper. And I respect that, man. I know what he was trying to do. Elders and parents, preachers, they try to caution you so you don't get hurt. But I understood that. Now, I was a quiet person. People didn't know the things that I wouldn't understand because I didn't express myself well. And this time I knew not to. I said, no, I'm on to something. I'm going to stick. But I sensed something from the Holy Spirit that this was possible. I only sensed it. You know, I talk all the time about how the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I knew I was on to something. And I started realizing that a lot of people were not on to what I was on to. Because people talk about whatever's in their heart. And nobody was talking about what I was doing. If the Lord gives somebody a message, they're happy that they got something from the Lord and they share it all the time, 100% of the time. And they preach it. And it's glorious. And people want something from the Lord and they like to share it because it blesses people. And those who could be proud, if they had peacock feathers, they'd flare out. But I'm not blaming people. When people share the glorious stories that they have and the glorious testimonies, they're not just trying to show up. They are happy. They are blessed. And they're trying to be a blessing to you. But the enemy does tempt people with preeminence as well. Sometimes you're not trying to be preeminent and the enemy will tempt you to believe that you're just trying to be preeminent. He's always trying to throw a wrench in the works. But that's not the way it is. And that wasn't the way it was. Every time something happened to my favor, it wasn't to show out. Nevertheless, I was onto something. And I said, I'm going to learn this. So I kept after the Lord about this. It didn't die away. I said, Lord, I really want you to teach me how to live in your presence. And he taught me how to love his people at my weakest moment. I was about to get in a fight. I talk about that all the time. I won't linger on that. When he said, to love a man, whether he does you good or evil, everlasting love. So I pursued him in the avenue of love. And that's how I learned to love people. And to be stable in him and to feel his presence wherever I go. The more I love people, the more he taught me. The more he taught me, the more I understood. The more I understood, the more I was able to retain what I received from him. See, you only have faith for the word of God that you receive. And you only stay in that faith if you retain it. So I learned a lot of principles that added up to help to the point that I could feel God's presence wherever I go. And it's mounting up. It's getting better and better. His voice is louder. And my voice is softer in my spirit. The voice of my will is reduced and the voice of the Lord's will is increased. And the more I understand it, his voice ever increases. And I have the peace that passes all understanding and the joy that ever increases. And Jesus wants us to have our joy to be full. See, your joy is full after situations are completed. So, that's happening. Now, when you are designed to do a specific thing and the Lord anoints you to do something, hear me good. When you're anointed to do it, that's a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish or complete a specific task. When you're anointed to do something, and most anointings are ongoing, it's going to take a lifetime to finish it. So when you're anointed to do something, the Lord has a plan for you to fulfill, and you have to be trained for it, and you have to be trained in time to finish it. Hear me good. When you have an anointing to do something, you can do more than average men in that area. Even the most qualified scholars that went to all the schools and read all the books and obeyed God for years, they can't do what you can do. When the Lord gives you revelation in a certain area and commissions you to do it, you outclass them. And as you go forward doing these things, you prove that you outclass them. They're looking at you instead of the Lord in you or and upon you. See, the Holy Spirit is within us to train us, and He's upon us to help us do our work. And they get offended. The enemy is slick. Don't let him slick you. If you have a spouse that's anointed, stop looking at them like a spouse when the anointing is operating in their life. You'll miss it. A person can be married to somebody operating under the anointing, and they only see their husband or they only see their wife. And because they're processing them as their spouse only, they belittle what the Lord is doing on them that's changing the world systematically before their eyes. And they may die before they realize what the Lord has done in most cases. Unless you're wise and understand the works of God. And I don't say that lightly. A lot of people, when the Lord is working in their spouse's life, they're looking at their spouse or their father or their children. And they never, ever, they get offended against the works that God is doing in their life. Because that's just my son, or that's just my daughter, or that's just my wife, or that's just my husband. They forgot that they are a creation of God, and that they are washed in the blood. And Cain, jealousy can rise up against anybody at any time. Even if you're anointed yourself. Because one day God is going to raise up somebody to do what you can't do. And they'll outclass you. You're anointed to do what you're doing. They're anointed to do a specific that they're doing. But with the same body. It's so stupid and foolish to be jealous against them. But it happens. Now, when Cain jealousy rises up and people don't stop it, then it stops the process of the Holy Spirit. You can't be promoted beyond the point you've been promoted. And worse than that, you can lose your position. God can just reject you. He can remove your candlestick out of place. This happened against John, Apostle John, that walked with Jesus, that was taught by Jesus, that loved everybody. But Diotrephes didn't want him around. Because he wanted to be preeminent, and he couldn't have the preeminence if John came on. He had Cain jealousy. I would love to believe that there was no more Cain jealousy, but it's still here. Cain jealousy can work in anybody that will allow it. Anybody that abides Satan's, that will receive Satan's lies and fiery darts. Once it gets in their heart, they will speak. They will interrupt. You're speaking by the Holy Spirit. They will interrupt you. They will draw attention to themselves. They will try to stop the process. That person will never grow beyond the point that they've grown. And if they don't stop, their candlestick can be removed because they're not operating according to the love of God, and they're operating against the love and wisdom of God. Against an anointed person that was washed in the blood of Jesus. Now you can sense how dangerous this is. Now, God is not like, he don't want us to take vengeance because we don't know what we're doing. He's trying to protect us. But Jesus Christ will not allow sin to mount up against his people. Sometimes you can convince other people that you're right, and it's just Cain jealousy. And then now you got a bunch of other weeds in the garden that works against the heart of God. And God has to deal with it. Remember, he give us a space of time to repent. But if you don't repent and drive out these demons, and you keep operating according to their foolishness, something's going to happen. You can live or die. You can repent, or you can hide it and mask it, and something will happen. Because God is going to protect his young ones. We are lifelines. He's not going to let somebody cut the lifeline without a problem, without vengeance. The Lord loves his people. Now, I can talk about Cain jealousy. Some people which will start acting right, but that's not it. That's not repentance. True repentance is when you get this stuff out of your heart. If it's in there, you got to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, and you just say, well, I repent, I'll stop doing it, and don't change the process of your heart, then it's not over, and God can't promote you. People got to deal with Cain jealousy. God sees it for what it is. And he talked to me about this last night. This is the first time he gave me a title before. Most time he gives me the name of the broadcast. This year I've been naming the broadcast. It started last year. In December I started naming all the broadcasts instead of just putting the dates up there. And this was of the Holy Spirit. At first I had to do the dates. Now I name them. So I follow him. And it works out. God loves us, folks. Cain jealousy will stop the process of God's works in your life. A lot of people want to see a great revival, but with Cain jealousy, you'll never see it. He's going to protect his works. He's going to protect his young. He's going to protect you. And all those who operate according to the wisdom of God, he's going to move in their life. And he wants us to be like him. He wants to be a blessing to us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to love truth and honesty and appreciate his handiwork in people. Now, he don't prepare people to know that, well, this person's going to say something. And don't be jealous against them. But the enemy will. Once it happens, you know, when I preach in public, you know, when I'm doing a sermon in a church, everybody knows it's groomed to be silent and let the speaker speak. Sometimes I can see it in the countenance of people that they really wish I'd just shut up. And this was all along. And I started realizing, I said, when I minister somewhere and I say what God give me, they're not going to invite me back. And I watched, and they don't. And then somebody that don't do, that do about like they expected them to do, or they don't do as well as the pastor, now they invite them back, if they can trust them. And they usually get somebody from out of town or somebody, a friend. And I began to realize that pastors don't like people to preach better than them. But it's not better than them. It's just different. Now, you know, nobody talks about this, but I know a lot of people that stop ministering altogether, or they got so wounded they stopped going to church, or they went to another church. There are a lot of wounded soldiers out there because of Cain jealousy. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. We've been given everlasting life. We've been given heaven itself, the whole kingdom of God. We don't have to be jealous of anybody. We are one body. In fact, I like to see people go forward and do better than me. It's not that they're better. It's different. I want to see people be promoted in the perfect will of God. There is no Cain jealousy, because I rebuke that pride. and never was a problem. How are you going to go in God's presence and hear him out and be jealous against his people? And then go in God's presence. You want God to love you more than them. That's stupid. God loves us all. My mother taught me that God loves everybody. I remember when the Klan used to put a cross up. I said, Mama, are they some kind of Christians? And she said, God's not pleased with what they're doing. They're wrong about that. You know, God doesn't, he loves everybody, son. He loves everybody. He doesn't hate anybody. And people get off track. Cain, jealousy. Same thing. You know, and you know, when I asked Lord to forgive, when I knew that God, Jesus wanted me to forgive, I was forgiven of everything. And he wanted me to forgive everybody that ever offended me. And that's one of the first things I did as a Christian. I forgave all my enemies, my childhood enemies, people I was mad at. Being a black man, you know, in the South, my family on both sides were slaves at one point. So I forgave the slave owners. And I knew that the Klan hated black people. I forgave them too. See, I went all the way. If you're going to do something, do it right. Because people are trapped by Satan. I saw that. Satan is the one behind all the evil. It's just dangerous for you to join it. It's dangerous for anybody to join it. The concept of loving your enemies, I took it serious. And I'm not talking about, this sounds right, so I'll say it. No, I really love them. I want Jesus to save them. When I got saved, I was changed. When anybody gets saved, they're changed. They have a chance at heaven. Now, anybody I came across that hated me, even somebody from ISIS, and I had a chance to witness to them and tell them about Jesus. If they were listening, I would minister life and rejoice when they get saved. No Cain jealousy. No pride, no preeminence like Diotrephes. All that stuff is of the world. And I'm not going to belittle something what God is doing to somebody else's life just for my stingy pride. Cain jealousy. Now Cain repented. He hated that he killed his brother. You know, they sold Joseph into slavery. And then they all bargained for his life with their life. The same brothers that had him in jail. People change when they see the error of their way. But if you're going to resist, if you're going to get rid of Cain jealousy, do it from the heart. I'm out of time. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.